Welcome to the Creative Entrepreneur Show. What do we have this week, Brian?
Hey, Rosh, happy to be here this week. And we have a very special guest with us. We have Jackie Green, the founder and CEO of Behind the Design. It's a Colorado-based company. She is, as she said in her own words, a recovering designer who is now bringing her marketing skills to the world of interior design and architects. Jackie, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, good to have you. So tell us a little bit about yourself. How, I mean, we had a little pre-conversation as we were beginning the show, and it was really interesting to sharing why you got into this and what your mission is.
Yeah, absolutely. I started in marketing and was in marketing for 20 plus years, both working for big corporations as well as small businesses, and decided I was burned out, decided to go back to school and become an interior designer. Ended up talking my husband into it and was like, can I just take a class? And he's like, okay. Well, fast forward, I worked for three different architecture firms, graduated, ended up going back and teaching at the college. But one thing I noticed was that in the design world, we teach design in school, but we don't teach how to run your business. And so we see a lot of designers struggling with, how do I market my business? How do I grow it? How do I find new clients? And so I felt like there was a real need. And so Behind the Design was born, and we decided that it was, or I guess I decided it was one of those things where I wanted to provide education and support designers on a much larger level, but as well as offering them some support services. So like we all know, when we build a business, it starts to become a little bit too much and we look for resources. So we offer marketing services to support their efforts as well. So it's education and services.
Yeah. I certainly know where you're coming from, going to art school, you know, no business classes. I always said, if they ever had me teach at the art school I went to, it would only be business. And so I totally get it. With that thought, if so, somebody comes to you right now and says, okay, then what do I do? How would you approach that? Because often it's an open-ended question like that. Show me the key one thing I should do, which we know it's more than that, but feel free. Yes.
Yeah. We really look at what are they doing right now and then how do we maximize? But there's one thing that I wish I had done earlier. It's networking. It's building those relationships and finding opportunities. And so it's not just networking with other designers. It's actually networking with other professionals. Because if we look at who's really purchasing your services as a designer, it is professionals who can afford your services, that own homes, or even in the commercial space where they own a business and they need their space remodeled or built out or whatever that is. Mm-hmm. And so we look at that. And the best way to do that, and the number one thing I tell people, is to network and really build your group, like really build and find where you belong. Because when people, you know you, like you, trust you, they're going to send business your way.
Right.
And so that's the number one thing. We go into then after that is really building your foundation for marketing, starting with your website. You've got to have a really solid website, because everything else you do from a marketing standpoint just goes back to that. Because I think it's like, I've seen stats anywhere from 85 to 92% of people will look at your website before they hire you.
Right.
And so a lot of designers miss that and think, oh, I'll just throw something out there, no big deal. But that is really our foundation. And then we build upon there of what are the strategies that really impact you. It's not, I think social media is a great example. You don't need to be on every single social media platform. That's exhausting. You need to find out where your audience is and then focus on that platform.
Good. Brian, you have something?
Yeah. Great example mentioning the website. You know, before you came to the show, obviously we went and checked out your website, behindthedesignco.com. And it's just a wealth of knowledge and resources here that you have available. And it looks like, you know, you're really able to blend your two worlds of marketing and design wonderfully. And yeah, you're exactly right. And it's funny how designers and creatives sometimes will leave their website kind of last, where it's another opportunity to really get yourself out there and show off, you know, why you're so, you know, creative and everything. A question for me now, a client, say if somebody did want to work with you, are you able to help, you know, any designers nationally, or are you looking just for a local audience there in Colorado? How do people get a hold of you and engage you?
Yeah, we work with actually all across the entire nation. So we have clients all over the place. And we typically go to, we start with a strategy meeting or like a let's chat, we call it the let's chat strategy or let's chat marketing call. And we identify and we do research and look at, you know, what are you doing right? It's not about what you're doing wrong. It's how do we build on what you're doing right? And how do we support you to build out that even further? And so that's kind of where we start out with and really talking to our clients and identifying, hey, what can we do that really builds upon what you've created here? And sometimes that starts with the website. Sometimes it starts with they already have the website, and so we're going to support them in other ways. And so we look at that. But yeah, absolutely, they can schedule. It's a free consultation. They can schedule it through our website, like you said, behindthedesignco.com. And we just chat about what's going on and where we can support them.
Very good. Hey, so we talked about how we've kind of pushed more into the AI world in our conversation on this show, and we talked a little bit about that. How is it affecting you in your business, and how are you applying it to your clients as daily something new comes out that scares the heck out of creatives?
Absolutely. And it's interesting. I was actually just talking to designers, to clients yesterday about this and how they're using AI, which I found really interesting, but we were kind of laughing about, I really wish it did this or really wish it did that. That how we're using it as, and I will give you a prime example, we're looking at it to generate more ideas. And we can actually, I know it was a fear factor when AI first came out, and I think there are still people that are scared by it. But the truth of the matter is it's really a support tool and allows us to actually come up with better ideas, create new content. Now, with that in mind, you have to keep, you know, whatever's coming out of AI, you need to rewrite it. You need to remake it into your own words. You need to make sure it's factual. Sometimes I'm like, where did they pull that out of? But it's really important. But for us, it's how can we create content even faster to really help our clients? In my example, we had all these blog posts, and I don't know about you. Sometimes I don't have the creative juices to go, what reels do I need for Instagram? That's a prime example. So we took all of our December blogs and my marketing manager threw it into AI and had it suggest some scripts for us so that we could create some new reels based on the content we already created. It created 72. Now, I'm not going to use all 72. So then she went to January and February and did those. So we're at 264 scripts. Now, we won't use all those by any means, but it gives me that starting point that I can actually then go in and really look at, okay, what's it suggesting? What can I adapt and change? And what do I like? But it totally gave me this whole, you know, opportunity to actually put more content out. So I think of it as a support tool rather than a competition. And from a designer standpoint, designers are using it to create mood boards because there's this fear with designers. Oh, well, my clients are just going to go to AI and do their own design. Those people are already going to do their own design. They were already the DIYers of the world.
That's a great point.
Yeah, they were. I mean, there's just some people that are going to be your DIYers, and that's great. But your clients don't have, as a designer, your clients don't have time to do all that. But it is working on the back end to help them to create mood boards and to create some things just from the initial conversation, just to give an idea to their client of, hey, these are some ideas that you might like, without putting a ton of hours into it, but still being really prepared for a meeting to impress this potential client. And I think that's a really good point, is how can we use it to support us and to better offer our services and really provide that customer experience to the highest level.
Right. You know, you make a good point in the sense that, look, how to do pretty much everything right now is already available to everyone. Oh, we've had that. We've had Google Plus for, 20 plus years. And you want to know how to do something, you can look it up. Just because something now brings the world to you in a little simpler format doesn't mean that you're still going to do it or they're going to do it. People still going to make choices. We've often used the example of, say, putting a website together. People are still going to say, no, that's not a good photo. You know, if you just say AI, make the website, great, but it doesn't represent my brand at all, or my intent or my ideas.
My tone,
exactly.
Me.
Yes, exactly.
So a creative driving the bus and having their ideas and their thoughts, you know, seen to completion, you know, from these ideas. But yeah, I loved your example of using previously written blogs or any content on your website and saying, hey, give me some ideas for reels. Being a social media manager who has to shoot reels on site with my clients, I use it for that purpose a lot. And I'll often ask it and refine it. And I'll say, hey, give me 100 ideas. And then I'll say, all right, give me the 15 that have the highest propensity to go viral and have it actually, you know, go through and redefine itself. And like you said, you know, to show up and impress a client, it's so great to be able to, you know, have clients that are maybe in an industry that I'm not too familiar with, because, you know, we're not focused on just interior design like you, we're kind of across the board, and it helps us be experts across all those different areas. So it's,
I think there's great opportunity. And it's funny that now that we've been using AI, I wish search in Google, because we laugh about it. My husband and I laugh about it all the time of how many things we did when we were younger that we just kind of stumbled through. And then when Google came out and YouTube videos and all these things, like you can look up anything in the world that you want to learn about on Google, and it's out there. And so now we were actually in San Diego for a conference, and I'm trying to figure out a restaurant for lunch. And I'm sitting there going, okay, walking distance was within the convention center, something in the mid-range. I don't want to spend, you know, I'm looking for these criteria, so I might get in and out. And I'm like, really, I wish search really worked like AI, that I could just put this huge prompt in and they could give me, yeah, you need to go eat here. Yep. And so now I'm like kind of wanting search to be more like AI, because it is useful. And you take it with a grain of salt, but, and you make it your own by all means. But there is an absolute business reason for using it.
Yeah, and honestly, that's where search is going. You have Gemini now that's a lot like that, and Perplexity, which is right on Google's heels on that approach. So yeah, that is, if you want to see what the future of search is, go to Perplexity and see what they're doing over there. And that's exactly it. And Gemini's looking that way. And I think, you know, people will have their own AIs that are specialty AIs, because you, if someone's going to develop maybe a design AI that for designers that will be, you know, more broad, deeper knowledge, but specifically for your field, but not everybody's going to use that, you know, at least the common person may not want to pay for it. You know, it's kind of like using Photoshop or InDesign or whatever it may be. If you don't need it on a daily basis, why would you have it? So you still have that advantage, whatever your area would be. And I would think that would be the case for a designer. What that leads me to a thought, what might be some of the things that a designer might need from a tool like an AI or something like that, maybe that's not available now moving forward? Just your thoughts and opinion.
I think one of the biggest challenges we have are what's time consuming. Well, two things. Time consuming are when we create our construction documents, what are called our construction documents, that is very labor intensive. It takes a long time to put all the details in. And so when you're building out a set of construction documents, this is what's going to happen at this project. You're communicating your design intent to contractors. Mm-hmm. When I first started in this industry, I was like, oh, contractors have common sense. No, you have to act like, and some of them do, not bagging on a contractor, you have to tell them exactly all those details that you want and how you want that to be displayed. And we were just talking about yesterday with this client, it would be so great to be able to go, okay, put this material or do this in this drawing or to do this so that I can show it a little easier than some of the products. Like we do training in what's called Revit, which is a big architecture, and now designers are getting to it, where we draft and look at our models in 3D. And it would be so awesome to use AI just to be able to do that. The other thing is, how do I research products? And that's a big deal and is a very big time consumer as well, as I want new ideas. I want new products. What's out there? How does this compare to this or this? How do I look for those? And that, you know, any research, we all know that takes time. Mm-hmm. And so if we could speed that up and be able to really see what's out there and attract, and even like we were talking about in the Google search doesn't work right now like it used to work. It's very cumbersome. How do I find those new products? How do I find those new companies out there that are doing something really cool and really great that my clients are going to love? So I think there's a couple different opportunities future-wise that I'm really excited that I think we will get there. Mm-hmm. But anything that we can do to speed up our deliveries, whether it be construction documents, whether it be these are the products that will work, whatever that looks like, then we're going to make more money. Efficiency, more money. And I think that's really the key.
That's a good point. Efficiency, and no matter what kind of creative you are. Brian, you have a question?
Yeah, I was just wanted to go back to just ask Jackie about, you know, the typical clients who she interacts with. Are they, you know, more residential, commercial? You know, what scale of, you know, designer and architects do you work with? And in what way? And also just to kind of go back to the AI, you know, second part of the question, have you gotten any brushback from any of the designers or any of the people that you work with by, you know, using any sort of AI?
We've had a lot of residential designers lately come to us for different reasons, either for training or for help with their marketing. And that's great. We've worked with commercial designers in the past more on the training side. And I have not gotten any pushback on this. So we're very upfront on how we're using AI. And so to me, it's that honesty. And honestly, I feel like a lot of our clients and designers just want it to get done and get done right, mm-hmm. just like they want to serve their clients. And so the people that are coming to us just need that help to serve their clients better. And they want to focus on doing the design. They want to focus on the fun stuff that they love about their business. Mm-hmm. And so when they turn their marketing over to us, it's like, please just take this off my plate, make it work, do your specialty, just get it done. Right. And that's a really great place to be because that gives us so many opportunities to do some really fun stuff. But we're honest. We tell them exactly how we're using it. We don't put content out there that's all AI. We go through, it's our starting point. It gives us ideas, and then we adapt them for our clients or for ourselves.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, and it's great that you mentioned that. We actually talked about transparency in AI a few episodes ago about, you know, starting to put that in your contract when you talk with people. And, you know, Rosh, I think last week talked about how in his company, he's got a human department where, you know, we can go on a little bit about that, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, human department, everything is human based. I mean, because so much of AI is getting in, you know, mm-hmm. become part of everything that we just like, look, it's been very helpful in many ways. Well, we won't get into all that because it's not about what we've been doing, but ultimately having that very mindful idea that, look, there's still a place for the human element and it's important.
Well, you have to make it authentic. Yeah. Authentic is what's important right now is people want. There's so much getting thrown at us. We want authentic and we want people to really show who they are and why we should work with them and know them before we even talk to them. And so I think we have to be careful when we're using AI that you're still adding your voice in there.
Absolutely.
And who you are.
Yeah. Perspectives and so forth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kind of circling back, to somebody who just wants to start a creative business. Maybe they are a designer, but it could be, there are many different types of designers. And they say, okay, I'm ready. Maybe they work at a company. And it sounds like you have experience, obviously, in the corporate world at some level to say, hey, I took a risk. I'm going to take that big risk right now for myself. What am I going to do? What would you say to that person, you know, maybe as the first steps or either as a transition or just go for it? What are your thoughts?
That risk is really hard for a lot of people. When you're getting that paycheck and you get your health care, it can be really scary to make it. And I have done it. And it can be really challenging. I think that at some point, you just kind of have to go for it. If it is in your heart and that is what is screaming to you, you have to go for it. But you have to be prepared. It's not easy. Starting a business is hard. And what happens in a lot of the designers that I know is they go out and they start their own because they want to control their own projects. They want to pick their clients. And what they don't realize as an owner of a business, you're really only designing about 20% of the time. The other 80% is actually running your business. And that can be really disheartening. And so what happens is then they go out there and they really just created their own job and a really hard job at that. It's a lot easier working for somebody else and going home at 5 o'clock and be like, oh, I can relax. I can have my weekends off. I can't remember the last time I had a weekend off. And so knowing that and knowing that this is not easy. If you read these like, always cracks me up. These people are like, oh, I made, you know, $300,000 in a month because of my side hustle. Yeah, I'm calling BS on that one because it is hard work, but it's so rewarding as well. You meet amazing people. You get to work with different people. You get to, like for me, I hired my first full-time employee. I'd worked with 1099s, but we have first full-time employee on board, and we are hiring another one before the end of the year. It is so exciting to share my knowledge and to mentor and to really build something special. So there's a lot of plus sides, but it is hard, and you have to know that. You're not going to run out and just start making a ton of money off the bat. You have to keep reinvesting. And you have to figure it out. And I promise you, you will make tons of mistakes and feel like you are falling all over yourself. At least that's how I always felt. Like, sure. Okay, can I make any more mistakes here? Yeah. But I always learn and always bounce back. And that's what's important.
Very good. Yeah. Brian?
I'm just one, you know, kind of a wrap up question. Say somebody does go to your website and they book the 30-minute strategy call with you. What could they expect?
Well, in that 30 minutes, so we will start chatting. What we do is we ask them, you know, a little bit about, we check out their website. We look at their social media posts. We look at what they're doing now. And so when we get into that call, we can talk about, hey, these are the things you're doing really well. And then we really ask a lot of questions around how can we be of help? Where are you struggling? Where are your pain points? Right. That we do that for two reasons. I mean, one, it helps educate me further about what my clients need, but also helps them, like, this is to really zone in and determine, okay, where are the biggest pain points and how can I get those solved? And so it's really just a conversation about, you know, what's going right, what needs a little bit more work, and then we give some recommendations at the end of that. If they choose to work with us, great. If not, we've built a relationship and have, you know, an opening place, and maybe down the road we can help each other. But I really look at that as an opportunity to educate and to help somebody as they're struggling through some of the things I've already been through.
Very good. Well, yeah. And wrapping up, is there any last thing you'd like to share with the audience that maybe you think they should know as they move forward or something you have to announce?
Yeah, we've talked about, you know, how you're starting a business, or maybe you've started a business, you've been in it 3 years, you're really struggling to make it profitable. We have a masterclass, it's a quiz and a masterclass called Hobby to Profitability. And it really talks about how that mindset behind starting a business or growing a business, it's more about growing a business. It talks about systems and processes, and it talks about the habits that we have in our business. And those are really, to me, the foundations that you need to build a really profitable business. Even if it's just you want to continue as a solopreneur, that's okay. It's how do you build and make sure you're maximizing all of your efforts. And so that is available, and we have that masterclass once a month.
Very good. And can they get that from your website?
Yep. It's on the front homepage.
Perfect.
Hobby to Profitability.
Hobby to Profit. Perfect. So we'll put that in the show notes. And Hey, this is great. This is a great conversation. Jackie, thank you so much for being on the show. And I think people will enjoy this and get a lot out of it. There are a lot of little nuggets that you shared there that were excellent.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure.